Today, New Letters on the Air features part two of an interview with Mexican-born writer Shanath Carraza. Part one at the Johnson County Arts and Heritage Center included her 2018 International Latino Book Award-winning collections, Lágrima Roja for Best Poetry Book in Spanish, and Sin Preambulos, Without Preamble, for Best Bilingual Poetry Book. Since that production, two newer books have placed second in the 2019 awards, her poetry book Hudson and her short story collection Metzli.
I'm very honored to be part again of these International Latino Book Awards. I think it's just amazing now in the category of short story. That's just great.
Shanath Carraza reads from both these books and more today on New Letters on the Air, produced by New Letters Magazine at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. I'm Angela Elam, and before we get to that earlier conversation, I asked Shanath, who's a Spanish lecturer in UMKC's Foreign Languages and Literatures Department and an associate faculty of Latinx and Latin American Studies, to help differentiate some terms for us, beginning with Latinx.
That X tries to be inclusive in both genders and not just put the Latino O ending, which is masculine. And we had to explain Latina, right, if we wanted to emphasize the female and not just to be invisible in that Latino O ending word. So Latinx is definitely this idea of being more open to both genders and inclusive, right? And also we kind of talk a little bit about the term of Hispanic, right? What is it to be Hispanic? So the U.S. Census Bureau, in order to put together in a category people who had Spanish ancestry or Latin American ancestry. However, people from Latin America, activists in the 60s, 70s, were asking people from Hispanic or Latino descent what was their preference. And they started using the term Latino. And now that Latino term has evolved as Latinx, which I think it goes perfectly with our current times.
What about Chicano?
Mm-hmm. Well, the word Chicano started specifically in California during the civil movement, right? And people, in a way of claiming identity as Mexican-Americans, but also activists, created this term, Chicano. Some people write it down with an X, Chicano, but it's Chicano, right? It's just a way of identifying yourself as activist and Hispanic, Latino, American, right? But definitely an activist. My interpretation of Chicano nowadays, and I think many people agree with me, it goes beyond California. So people who are activists with this heritage, call it Hispanic, Chicano, Latino, but activists or artivist, right, as I identify myself.
Artivist? Yeah,
I'm a writer, I'm an artist.
I like
and
that.
I'm an activist, right? My activism goes through my writing and my teaching in a way. Can be called Chicanos or Chicanas.
Yeah, I always thought it had a political bent to
definitely,
it.
Definitely, yes. So, yeah. Yes. So that's one of the elements that needs to be in that term.
Well, it'd be nice too if this new Latinx incorporated all of that.
Definitely. I think it does. It's becoming that kind of new Chicano Latinx or Chicanx. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I love that really shows the evolution of the mind through language and through our selected words.
That's helpful. We'll go now to the second part of our April 2019 conversation at the Johnson County Arts and Heritage Center, where Shanath Carraza had already discussed the importance of color in her work. That's evident in the title poem of her 2014 book from Mammoth Publications called Where the Light is Violet, which also picks up on some other recurrent themes.
Place is important for me, as you know, and this book is about a trip in Italy, 3 months that I spent there. I was invited to a poetry festival that they organized in Venice, and I asked them if I could stay longer. They asked me if I wanted to stay in Venice or in another place, and I wanted to be in Murano Island because I was going to be writing. So Murano Island, for those of you who are familiar with Venice, is the place where all the blown glass is made, and you have to take a boat in order to get to the actual Venice. So I was literally isolated, writing happily, and that's the result of that trip. So, where the light is violet, fill the night with purple while I listen to your name song with the roar of the blue sea. Try to find me in the submerged city over there, far away, where the light is violet and the ocean is purple flames.
The last verses read in the wooden boats and the pearly Milky Way are the ones that will guide you. Let them come to me. Don't resist anymore. Listen to the iridescent marine language anchor that drags your wishes. Find me among the dense waves of the strong currents of water from the sunken city, covered by the conchs and seashells. Pursue the sobbing of the lost ships. Perceive my essence of red coral in the air. Recognize the sweet taste of milk on your lips, breast full of you, seaweed covers them. Fill the night with purple and drink me among the warm white waves over there in the submerged city before the full moon. Donde la luz es violeta. Llena de púrpura la noche mientras escucho entonar tu nombre con el rugido del mar azul. Búscame en la ciudad sumergida, allá, lejos, donde la luz es violeta y el océano de fuego púrpura. Son los últimos versos leídos en las barcas de madera y en la nacarada Vía Láctea los que te podrán guiar. Déjalos llegar hasta mí. No te resistas más. Escucha el opalescente lenguaje marino, ancla que arrastra tu voluntad. Encuéntrame entre las densas olas de las fuertes corrientes de agua de la ciudad hundida, cubierta de caracolas y conchas. Persigue el llanto de los buques perdidos. Distingue mi esencia de rojo coral en el aire. Reconoce el sabor azul, dulce, de leche en tus labios, senos llenos de ti, algas marinas los cubren. Llena de púrpura la noche y bébeme entre las cálidas olas, allá, en la ciudad sumergida, antes de la luna llena. Isla de Murano, Venecia, Veneto, 30 de mayo de 2015. Murano Island, Venice, Veneto, Italy, May 30th, 2015.
Where the Light is Violet, the title poem from the book by Shanath Karaza, and that was translated by Sandra Kingery. I was struck by the fact that this particular poem was kind of dedicated to Murano, or you were there Absolutely. When you were writing it. And there's something, because you mention water so much in your work. Yes. I mean, you really do. And I've never been there mm-hmm. to Murano, but I know about the whole glass blowing thing. And when you think about the qualities of glass art and then water itself too, there's a lot of similarity, even though one's stagnant and the other's not.
I can help write about water. It just comes back to me. And I started fighting that, trying to write about other things. I do write about other things, but it just comes back to me. So I just let it come in and do her thing. And sometimes it's masculine, sometimes it's feminine. But water for me is the element that brings life, but it also can destroy life. The floods, the energy that when it comes into a city, all the damage that can do. So it brings life, but it can also take it away. Yeah.
I want to jump to the book, Hudson. Mm-hmm. We're talking the Hudson River.
Yes.
In New York. And you go up there occasionally and do workshops and mm-hmm. teach.
So what I wanted to do was to represent the currents in the river, right? How can I do that if I'm a writer? I have words, so use different fonts and boldface and italics. And also, if you look at the poems, I was just thinking about the water, how it shines with the light, and sometimes has waves, sometimes it doesn't. So I wanted to represent that in each of the poems too.
It's really interesting when you think about the depths of water and all the stuff that can go on below the surface that we can't see, or maybe we see ripples of it.
And the Hudson, because it's estuary, has two different currents depending on the day and the tide. So it's a very interesting river and important for the history of the U.S. And that was my interpretation of the Hudson, which has become an important part of my life, yeah.
I'll just have you read this because you lay it out in one paragraph.
Okay. I am going to take the liberty, dear reader, of suggesting three readings with which you can navigate the currents of the Hudson, which are contained within these pages. The first is the order in which the poems appear, reading each poem in its entirety. For the second reading, I suggest you focus only on the boldface words in each poem. For the third and final reading, allow me to recommend that you read the lines in cursives in the following poems: 9, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 22, 23, 24, 26, 27, 29, 31, 34, 37, 39, 42, 44, 45, 47, 48, 49, and 50. May these three readings of this lead colored water submerge you in a different lacustrine densities and tumultuous currents.
It's such a neat idea that you read it through once all the way, just a straight reading, and then to read all the bolded things, and then to read all the italics. It really does become like a puzzle. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Tihimba Jess, and he's got a book that you can read in various ways like that, the book Olio that won the Pulitzer Prize. And it's all about African-American history, you know,
the book.
18th
I love it.
And
19th.
Yeah.
And I know him personally. Yes, it's great. Yeah.
But I couldn't help but think of his book.
Thank you. Wow.
Thank you.
Seanath Carraza and her book Hudson, that has since won second place for Best Spanish Poetry in the 2019 International Latino Book Awards. She read several poems at the Johnson County Arts and Heritage Center, which you can hear in part one on our website, newletters.org. So I got Seanath into the studio to demonstrate the various ways to read Hudson, using poem 9 as an example.
So I'm going to go over the whole poem, which is one of the suggested readings. Then I'll read just the boldface words, which is a poem within the poem, and then the italics in this same poem. 9. Es el dolor de un pueblo el que se desliza en la sangre de la tierra. Acantilados bermejos contienen la angustia y las rítmicas palpitaciones. La gente murmura en las doradas esquinas de la ciudad. Se desliza la esperanza con sutileza acuática. ¿Dónde están los héroes del agua? ¿Dónde las mujeres pez que cantan en la aurora? ¿Dónde las ilusiones del nuevo amanecer? Todo se inunda. Escurre la lluvia en los cristales de los acantilados, brota el agua densa. Canta, mujer pez, canta. It is the people's pain sneaking into the blood of the land. Crimson cliffs contain the anguish and rhythmic palpitations. People murmur in the golden corners of the city. Hope slips away with aquatic subtlety. Where are the heroes of the water? Where the fish women and their song of first light? Where the illusions of the new dawn? Everything becomes flooded. Rain drips down window panes. Dense water sprouts from cliffs. Sing, fish woman. Sí. Se desliza la angustia, la gente murmura, cantan en la aurora, la lluvia brota. Sneaking anguish, people murmur, song of first light, rain sprouts. Todo se inunda, canta mujer pez, canta. Everything becomes flooded. Sing, fish woman, sing.
That was number 9 from Hudson by Seanath Carraza. And what you heard was a reading all the way through of the poem. And then the second reading was the bolded words. And the third reading were the italicized words.
Yeah, not all of the poems have the italicized words. Most of them do. That's why I want to share number 9, so you can see how those three currents appeared in that poem.
And in your instructions, you say that you read the lines in cursive in the following poems, and you have that whole list of poems. Yeah.
So would they run together then to make one long poem?
That was my idea, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like having a conversation with the reader in a way. For me, that was important when I realized I could do that somehow.
Yeah.
I think it's a different kind of conversation with the reader.
It is.
The words that are bold-faced are individual poems. But the ones that are in italics, for me, that my idea was one long poem, yeah.
Should we hear that?
Sure. Hudson de caudales de azogue, Hudson of quicksilver fluidity. El corazón sangra con la luz, the heart bleeds with the light. Solo a ti deseaba, you were all I desired. Caricia bermeja, tarde llegas, me alcanza. Crimson caress, how late you arrive, it catches me. Ya es tarde. It is already late. Tu sangre en mí. Your blood within me. Tu boca en la piel. Viento cargado de ti. Your mouth upon flesh. Wind weighted with you. El Hudson se agita. The Hudson churns. Dominas la palabra, jinete de luz. You dominate the word, rider of light. Un instante que se esfuma, an instant that dissipates. Estás a mi lado, you are by my side. Arrastro la lluvia conmigo, I drag the rain along with me. Allá donde nace el placer, there where the pleasure is born. ¿Quién ha traído la lluvia? ¿Quién se ha llevado la espuma? Who has brought the rain? Who has taken the foam? ¿Qué nos falta para ser felices? What do we need to be happy? Medita en este navegar mecánico. Meditate in this mechanical navigation. Los secretos están en el agua. The secrets are in the water. El Hudson ruge en la tormenta. The Hudson billows in the storm. Guerrero de agua y eclipse. Warrior of water and eclipse. La ciudad se inunda. The city is flooding. Constante agua que fluye. El fragor del agua ensordece. Constant water that flows, the roar of the water is deafening. El Hudson despierta de su letargo, la luz artificial se anuncia, islas de esperanza. The Hudson awakes from its lethargy, artificial light takes the stage, islands of hope. Hoy llueve en el Hudson, no cesa, la luz no cambia. Abrasante agua. Today it's raining on the Hudson. It does not cease. The light does not change. Burning water. Me busco en las turbulentas aguas. I seek myself in the turbulent waters. Oscuras melodías. Dark melodies.
Those are the italicized words and phrases that are contained in Hudson, the collection by Shanath Karaza that won second place in the 2019 International Latino Book Awards. So you won for a book of poetry and a book of short stories.
Exactly, yes.
Hudson and Metzli. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. That's really neat. Thank you. This is my second book of short stories. I have What the Tide Brings, Lo que Trae la Marea. And it received, I think, also second place as best popular fiction at that time. But yeah, this is best short story collection, so I'm really happy. Yeah. And it's a really large book, so I'm very pleased.
By the way, you can hear from What the Tide Brings in our 2014 interview at newletters.org. But let's go back now to our earlier 2019 interview at the Johnson County Arts and Heritage Center, where Shanath Karaza reads from her short story collection, Metzli.
My first book published in Mexico, believe it or not.
The book travels the world because you've got stuff here in Kansas City,
Morocco,
all over the place. And this book of stories has a lot of very short vignettes, some of your flash fiction,
yeah.
But then you have some longer ones.
It's a book of short stories of loss.
Yes.
All of them. So, yeah, we've been talking about.
And people trying to meet and meeting briefly, but then passing by or...
without even seeing each other sometimes. Yeah.
I thought I would have you read one of the shorter ones from
this.
It's a one-page story.
Los grillos, the crickets. The winter crickets woke her, and for a moment she thought she was in Kansas City. Then she turned over in bed and wrapped herself in the pink blanket. Still half asleep, she thought about it again and told herself she was actually in Spain. She nestled against him and inhaled deeply to make sure it was him. She kissed him gently on the nape of his neck. He arched his back for a second and rolled over. He held her tightly while still half asleep, kissing her on the mouth slowly, sensuously. He told her while still half asleep that he loved her, and feeling his hands on her waist, he began to undress her. He enveloped her body with kisses, pausing at her belly, listening for a moment to the beating heart of the life they had created together, that she was carrying inside, that was his. The winter crickets woke her once again. She rolled over in bed, her pink blanket enveloping her. She touched her belly and felt the beating of a heart against her hands. She inhaled deeply, searching for his scent on the single bed where she'd been sleeping. There was no one beside her. Tears began streaming down her cheeks in the midst of the darkness. She began to tremble. A tenuous beam of light was beginning to appear between the curtains. She was in Mexico, in her childhood bedroom. She thought about the gold plaque engraved with his name that she had given him and that he had left behind, forgotten on the table of a cafe, where he told her he never wanted to see her again, where he ignored her when she was going to tell him she was carrying his child.
Oh, very poignant. How do I pronounce this again?
Metztli, it means moon in Nahuatl.
Nahuatl, that was her mother's indigenous language.
And the last title story, that's a dancer who goes to Morocco, but she's a pre-Hispanic dancer, and she's escaping the violence in Mexico. And you have to read the rest.
Sean Escaraza talking about Metztli, a second place winner in the 2019 International Latino Book Awards for Best Short Stories in English, with translations by Sandra Kingery and Caitlin Hippy. The Johnson County Arts and Heritage Center audience asked more about Shauna's process and beginnings, mentioning her early poem, Mujer.
En Conjuro was the first poem I translated into English. It's in that collection. And not only that, the Nahuatl translation was by my mother. And it's the only poem she translated for me. She said, find a translator because it's very hard. And that poem I wrote when I was about 18 years old in Mexico because I was invited to celebrate International Women's Day. So I had to write a poem for that. And I wrote the concerns I had about women at that time. So I love that poem. People ask me, the first poem I wrote, I was very young. I was about 6 years old. And I wrote it with a pink marker. I put it away, gave it to my aunt. She lost it when I asked for it. She had forgotten, but I wrote more. But when I first became, I think, a writer was, I had a column in Mexico in one of the cultural sections in a newspaper. And I had to put together something every week, a column. So that trained me to write every week and be published. But actually, when I was on the streets and my friends started telling me about what I had written and said to me, you know, what you wrote last week, I didn't like. Or, oh, I agree with what you did. That really made me feel that I can influence people in a good way
with my writing. That's when I think I became a writer. Nowadays, I am able to publish books. I couldn't for a long time, but now I am. So I write every day. People ask me, is it better in one place or do you have a special place? And I say, no, wherever I can plug in my computer, that's my place. And I don't have specific traditions. I don't need candles. I don't need to burn incense. I just need a paper and pen or a computer. I need time for myself, so I write in the morning very early. I wake up around 4 o'clock to do my writing before going to school. And I work about 2 hours. It doesn't mean that I finish a poem every day, but I write every day, or I edit, or I work on the columns that I need to publish. But I dedicate time. That's the key for writing. You have to give yourself time.
Okay, I ask her to read one more poem. Who wants to hear the poem she was just talking about? You guys want to hear that poem?
Okay, so we'll finish with Mujer. So I'm going to read the first stanza in Nahuatl, the language of the Aztecs, so you can have the rhythm and hear what Spanish people heard when they came to Mexico almost 600 years ago. So Mujer means woman, Cihuatl in Nahuatl. So I'm going to ask you to repeat Cihuatl.
Cihuatl.
Tlatoli tlen mo nenemilia y panton ten chipal, ticamahti campané, cuatiní tlayeyecapa millotlia, huan tlajecapa tlamasi cama aquí, totomosa non tonal, nisacilia tote cotle. Word that dissolves between lips, enchantment from the forest with its most exquisite aromas, soft wind that touches the soul, whispering from gods that charms my reason. Endless fertility, carrier of life, never-ending strength, roar of the lion, exotic silk from the land of my dreams, colors warm, cold, combined, ray of the sun that traverses the tree, bird that poses on the top of the willow tree, inaudible steps that reach my soul, path of stones that leads to the river, flight of duendes crossing the night, thunder of a strength that splits hearts, response that calms the loneliest man, shoulders that bear the heaviest loads, ray of the moon, fertile womb that devours and brings life, leaf that falls in autumn, hands that come, hands that bake, hands that clean, silent voice that tolerates, creative thought, deviant thought, stored thought, shadow of the brothel, protruding stomach, strong, a stormy night, aggressive hips, sex that hypnotizes, bloody feast, race feast, hand of the most expert caress, giver of pleasure, being who fights to be listened to, warrior witch, goddess, mortal, lover, mother, friend, enemy, owner, slave, fear, faith, night and day, today and always, mujer.
Woman, from Shanice Carraza's book, Conjuro, from Mammoth Publications. For links to her other international award-winning books and part one of this interview, go to newletters.org. A production of New Letters Magazine at UMKC. Thanks for today's show goes to the Johnson County Arts and Heritage Center and Public Library, Natalie Stein, Amelia Romine, Opal Roberts Baca, Anna Stokes, Evan Lohman, and Jamie Walsh. I'm Angela Elam for New Letters on the Air.